Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I am Anand Bansal and will run this conference along with my colleague Vivek. We will wait for a moment as people join and settle in the virtual conference room. We will start the conference in a minute. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We will wait and start the conference in a minute.
Let's start the call.
We have 80 plus people with us, Vivek. You may start the conference now.
Let's start. Hi, everyone. Good evening. I welcome you to Info Edge India Limited Q4 22 and Financial Year 22 Financial Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the call, please raise your hand on the screen. Please note that this call is being recorded. Joining us today from the management side, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, founder and chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, co-promoter and managing director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, chief financial officer. Before we begin today, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of investor presentations for detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vivek. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. Welcome to our fourth quarter earnings call. We take the privilege of announcing our Q4 22 and FY 21-22 financial performance of the company. We will start with the overall financials and then cover each business vertical in more detail. And then, of course, we'll have time for Q&A. The audited financial statements and other schedules on segmental billing, revenues, etc., along with the data sheet, have been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. I'll first take you through our standalone financials. Billings in Q4 were up 52.5% year-on-year at rupees 649.3 crores. FY22 billings stood at 1866 crore, a year-on-year growth of 58.7%. Revenues in Q4 were rupees 455.5 crores, a year-on-year growth of 51.6%. FY22 revenues stood at rupees 1562.5 crores, an increase of 38.5% year-on-year. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation, for the quarter grew 35.5% year-on-year and stood at rupees 327.5 crores. For FY22, operating expenses were rupees 1,098.7 crores, a growth of 30.8%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 128 crores versus rupees 58.8 crores in Q4 of last year, a growth of 117.6% year-on-year. FY22 EBITDA grew 61% to 463.7 crores from rupees 288.1 crores reported last year. EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 28.1% compared to 19.6% in Q4 of last year. For FY22, EBITDA margins stood at 29.7% versus 25.5% last year. Cash EBITDA for the quarter grew 84.8% year-on-year and stood at rupees 341.7 crores. Cash EBITDA for the full year stood at rupees 811.6 crores, a year-on-year growth of 140.2%. Deferred sales revenue stood at rupees 819.6 crores as of 31st March 2022 versus rupees 521.6 crores as of 31st March 2021, an increase of 57% year-on-year. The cash balance at the IEIL level, overall level, stands at rupees 3759 crores as of 31st March 2022. The balance stood at rupees 3558 crores as of 31st March 2021. During this quarter, NCLT also approved the merger of IIM Jobs with InfoEdge. Accordingly, the numbers of the standalone business and the recruitment business that we will discuss in the later part of the call will be inclusive of IIMJobs financials for current as well as previous periods. We will now talk you through what we are seeing in the market in our different verticals, and then we will discuss financials for each vertical. Starting with recruitment, the hiring market continues to be strong. Our IT customers continue to see increased hiring pressure on account of high attrition and the increasing gap between demand and supply of IT talent, thanks to the digital transformation story that is playing out globally. We also saw an increase in demand for freshers on our platform last year and also in the last quarter of last year. In the last two quarters, we have started seeing demand for non-IT talent also come back as the economy continues to open post-pandemic. Q4 saw an average increase of 30% in the Naukri Job Speak Index. Non-IT sectors like BFSI, retail, hospitality, pharma, and telecom also demonstrated healthy growth as concerns related to COVID reduced drastically during the quarter. The JobSpeak index for the month of April grew 38% year on year, with sectors like travel and hospitality growing by over 100%. We are watchful of and of recessionary trends in the US, which could impact IT hiring the coming months. Fingers crossed on this one. Moving on to the real estate vertical, well-known builders are seeing a strong revival of demand for nearly ready-to-move-in homes. There is an escalation in cost of construction of new homes, which could result in higher prices for new homes going forward. Real estate prices have started moving up in some pockets. And but it seems like after a long time, affordable real estate prices combined with rising incomes, low home loan rates, and a demand for bigger homes post-COVID are likely to lead to the real estate market picking up in the months to come. The matrimony market continues to grow at 5-10% per annum. We are beginning to see the emergence of a small serious dating category in addition to casual dating now. The edtech segment remains vibrant, and education search and research traffic on Shiksha continues to grow well. Moving on to financials, we will discuss the recruitment business first. In Q4 of 21-22, recruitment segment billings grew 66.6% year on year and stood at Rs. 513.3 crores, while revenues were Rs. 344.4 crores. Revenue grew at about 64.7% year on year. For FY22, recruitment billings are up 72.6% year on year to Rs. 1436.4 crores, while revenue grew year on year by 44.2% to Rs. 1154.2 crores. EBITDA for Q4 stood at Rs. 206.9 crores compared to 104.9 crores in Q4 of 2021, a growth of 97.2%. EBITDA for the full year for the recruitment vertical stood at Rs. 679.8 crores, a year-on-year growth of 55.4%. Margins in the business grew 10% from 50.2% in Q4 of 21 to 60.1% in Q4 of 22. EBITDA margin for the full year stood at 58.9% compared to 54.7% in FY21. Cash EBITDA for Q4 in the recruitment vertical grew 89% year on year to Rs. 386.2 crores. And cash EBITDA for FY22 for the full year for the recruitment vertical stood at Rs. 987 crores, a year-on-year growth of 110.1%. New CV registrations in Q4 stood at Rs. 21,000 per day, while CV modifications per day stood at Rs. 417K. Traffic share remains stable and daily active users are at an all-time high on the platform. During the year, we took several steps in our recruitment business to beef up our offerings to cater to changing consumer and customer requirements. We saw an increase in hiring of freshers through our First Naukri platform. Accordingly, the product was revamped to attract and handle more traffic. We continue to invest behind our Ambition Box offering to help job seekers find the right place to work and to research salaries, etc. We also augmented our assessment services for job seekers on a wider scale through our platform DoSelect. In these times of high attrition and growth, Naukri has emerged as a high-value recruitment tool for most recruitment firms and companies. This helped us in driving value selling proposition in most of our sales discussions and helped us rationalize discounts. There is also an increasing focus on adding new customers on the platform. Most of our new customers are now being acquired through the online mode. A little bit on DoSelect and Zwayam, our two recent acquisitions. DoSelect, our recent acquisition in the assessment space, generated a revenue of Rs. 16.2 crores for FY21-22. The business had reported a revenue of Rs. 4.2 crores in FY21. We saw similar growth in Zwayam in this financial year, with revenues growing from 6.5 crores in FY20-21 to Rs. 11.6 crores last year. Moving on to the real estate vertical, 99 acres. Billings in Q4 in the 99 acres business stood at Rs. 79.3 crores, a year-on-year growth of 10.6%, while revenue stood at Rs. 61.3 crores, a year-on-year growth of 22.3% from Rs. 50.1 crores Q4 of last year. For FY22, billing grew 25.1% year-on-year to Rs. 231 crores, while revenue grew 25.1% and stood at Rs. 217.3 crores. EBITDA for the quarter stood at a loss of Rs. 33.8 crores. EBITDA for full year stood at a loss of Rs. 78 crores against a loss of Rs. 22 crores booked in the last financial year. Cash loss during the quarter stood at Rs. 11.2 crores against a cash profit of Rs. 5.7 crores in Q4 of last year. And cash loss for FY22 stood at Rs. 54 crores against a cash loss of Rs. 12 crores in FY21. Seeing growth in the real estate sector and an aggressive stance by our competitors, we increased our marketing spends by almost 44% Q1Q in 99 acres last quarter. We launched premium listings. This product has received an encouraging response from the advertisers during the quarter. With market recovery now back on track, we are slowly seeing old broker and builder clients return to the platform. And with reduced inventory level, we expect increase in new project launches in the sector going forward. Growth of unique users and traffic on the platform shall be priority for the next few quarters. We will continue to invest in both operations and marketing. During the quarter, we also announced an investment of 137 crores into 4B Network. This venture aims at providing a tech platform to connect agents, brokers, and builders on the one hand, and track and aggregate new home site visits and home loans on the other to make it easier for all participants in the market. Moving on to the matrimony vertical, Jeevan Sathi. Billings grew 5% year-on-year in Q4 to Rs. 28.1 crore, and revenue for the quarter stood at Rs. 25.4 crore, down 1.9% compared to Q4 of last year. FY22 billing grew by 1.5% year-on-year to Rs. 101.9 crores, and revenue grew to Rs. 100.2 crores from Rs. 96.9 crores in FY21, a year-on-year growth of 3.4%. EBITDA losses stood at Rs. 38.8 crores in Q4. FY22 EBITDA loss stood at a loss of Rs. 120 crores against a loss of Rs. 95.6 crores in FY21. Cash loss for Jeevan Sathi during the quarter stood at Rs. 34.8 crores, up from a cash loss of Rs. 20.9 crores in the same quarter of last year. Growth in Jeevan Sathi stabilized in Q4. And like we mentioned in our last earnings call, we have reworked our strategy. We have introduced several free offerings this quarter. This will result in revenue taking a hit for the next two or three quarters. We are still evaluating the impact of these changes. We hope that they will help us gain serious traffic share in this category going forward. During the quarter, we also announced an acquisition of 76% of Isle Network Private Limited. Isle is engaged in the business of running multiple serious dating platforms on the web via its mobile apps. For FY21, Isle reported a revenue of Rs. 7.56 crores. We are quite optimistic of this space and expect the business to grow well going forward. Moving on to our education vertical, Shiksha. In Q4, Shiksha billings grew by 48.2% year-on-year to Rs. 28.7 crores, while revenue grew 58.8% year-on-year to Rs. 24.4 crores. FY22 billing and revenue grew 64.5% and 59.2% respectively, and stood at Rs. 96.5 crores and 90.7 crores respectively. EBITDA for the quarter stood at Rs. 4.8 crores compared to an EBITDA of 28 lakhs in Q4 of last year. FY22 operating profit stood at Rs. 19.5 crores against a profit of Rs. 4.1 crore in FY21. Cash profit for the quarter stood at Rs. 10.6 crores, up from Rs. 4.3 crores in Q4 of last year. Cash profit for FY22 stood at Rs. 28.7 crores, up from Rs. 5.8 crores reported in Q4 of 2021. We continue to invest more in the Shiksha Study Abroad business and in aggregating more useful content for our users on our platform. Moving on to our financial investments. In January 2020, we launched the InfoEdge Venture Fund with a fund size of US$100 million in partnership with MacRishi Investment Private Limited, an indirect wholly owned subsidiary of Temasek Holding Private Limited. By 31st March 2022, the fund has been able to successfully invest 80% of its corpus. Of the 28 investments made through the fund, 10 have been able to raise a follow-on round from marquee investors at a higher valuation. The company now proposes to set up three AIF schemes already approved by SEBI with a target corpus of US$325 million. InfoEdge and MacRitchie Investments Private Limited have committed to approximately 50% each of the total corpus of the schemes. The relevant approval from the shareholders as per SEBI listing regulations and MCA circulars have been secured through a postal ballot on 21st May 2022. These funds will have a life of 12 years and further extendable by 2 years as per SEBI regulations. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the group stood at Rs 472.9 crores versus Rs 300.5 crores the same quarter of last year. For the consolidated entity at the total comprehensive income level, there is a loss of Rs 6,420.8 crores versus a gain of Rs 311.9 crores from our corresponding quarter of March 2021. Adjusted for the exceptional items, PAT stood at a gain of Rs 245 crores in the quarter ended March 2022 versus a loss of Rs 39.6 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year. Thank you. This is all from us. We are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
Thanks, Adesh. We'll now begin the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may raise your hand on the screen. We'll take your name and announce your turn in the question queue.
Thanks, Vivek. We have a couple of questions. So the first question is from Vivekanand Subramanian from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
For the opportunity. My couple of questions are on Naukri. Hitesh, I thought that you mentioned about the your watchful stance on the US recession. Can you elaborate a bit further on this and how it has been in the past for you? Because it has been a very long time since the US went into recession. So that's question one. And secondly, what is your best guess of the proportion of IT hiring that happens through Naukri.com? And how has this trend moved in the last few years?
Look, US, we are not forecasting a US recession. Okay, I was just sort of reacting to, the various news items in various sort of media, which you and I have been reading for the last few weeks. As far as we are concerned, we are not seeing any slowdown as yet in the market. Q4 was our best quarter ever in the last 15 years. IT hiring is still very, very hard. Salaries are going up, attrition rates are high. Companies are looking to hire more fresh talent to control costs because lateral hiring is just so hard. So, at the moment, we are not seeing any slowdown in IT hiring, but I don't know what is likely to happen going forward, given inflation, given the geopolitical situation and so on and so forth. So, in our history, we've seen 2-3 sort of serious slowdowns. There was a serious slowdown in 2008. And then there was, of course, COVID. What we've seen so far is if there is a serious recession, even serious recessions don't last for more than 2-3 quarters. And then life goes back to normal. If it's not a recession, just a temporary slowdown, like if Indian, if it's a slight slowdown in economic growth, then, that one can take in one stride. That may not impact anybody too much. Only a serious recession is something we need to worry about. So I don't know if that answers your question. You had another question, right?
Yes. So the second question was on the proportion of IT hiring that IT hiring believe through happens through Naukri, and how has it trended over the last few years?
Well, it's different for different companies. The services companies, I suspect, end up, doing at least 30-40% of their lateral hiring through Naukri, if not more. For product companies, it may be 25-30%. In certain cases, it could be as high as 50-60% as well for customers. If I were to take a number and sort of give it as an average for the industry as a whole, I would take a number of more like 35-40%. That is what is probably the share of Naukri in all hiring at some of these companies. How has it changed in the last 2-3 years? Maybe it's gone up by a couple of percentage points. It tends to sort of sort of be very high in a slow market, because in a slow market, companies can take their time to hire and they're not in a hurry. In a fast moving market or in a hot market, companies are under tremendous pressure to hire. It's very, very difficult to hire. So they activate almost every channel to hire people. So probably goes down a little bit in sort of hot markets, goes up in slow markets.
Thanks. That was useful. Just one follow up. You have been looking to build adjacencies on recruitment through acquisitions and also through your own products. So what are the niches or say segments of recruitment where you think Info Edge is lacking, and where will the investments be focused?
Yeah, so we've already signaled that through our acquisitions and the various sort of new initiatives that we are pursuing in-house. So premium hiring or hiring a premium talent was a weak area for us, which is why we acquired iimjobs a few years ago. And we are now trying to sort of, build that, take that business to product to more customers in our sort of portfolio. Ambition Box is a startup we had acquired many years ago. Ambition Box is now as big as Classroom in India. So, if you want to research companies, if you want to research salaries, if you want to research interview questions, Ambition Box is the box is where you go today. So that business has really grown. That site has really grown in terms of usage and traffic over the last 3 years for us. It's fairly sort of big now. First Naukri is something we've been investing behind for the last few years. That business grew at more than 100% last year, because campus hiring really boomed, picked up last year, and is likely to stay strong this year as well. Then we acquired DoSelect. So, we think skill-based hiring will sort of increase going forward, and companies will need a platform to sort of assess skills. And that's where DoSelect sort of fits in. That business grew to 16 crores last year. Again, it's a very good product, very good team. All we are doing is using our sales system to take the product to more customers. And then, of course, Zwayam, which is our applicant tracking and management system, or a recruitment management software, last year became a part of our portfolio. Our long-term plan is to add more and more machine learning to their offerings. And again, use our sort of sales force to take their product to more customers. Internally, we are also investing behind JobHai, which is a blue-collar platform. Early days, but that is scaling up nicely in terms of traffic, in terms of listing, in terms of usage. We are also experimenting with BigShift, again, a premium platform for end-to-end hiring, so that they focus on closing transactions for tech companies. Early days, it's a startup inside the company, but that is something we have been sort of, playing around with for the last couple of years as well. So these are all the adjacent sort of areas where, to start with, the verticals may be small, the business may be small, but they hold tremendous potential for the next 5-7 years.
Thanks, Hitesh. Just one last question on recruitment, which is on the billing. So the number that we see in the current quarter, does it have any lumpy year-end renewals that came through, or is it fair to assume that this is the run rate that will percolate into revenues in fiscal 23?
No, this is, I would not call it the run rate, because Q4 is our biggest quarter and there are lots of renewals which are due in Q4. And so there is seasonality in our business because subscription business, and Q4 is always our biggest quarter. So so the growth rate in Q4 is of course you can maybe if the market stays the same, then you can extrapolate that for future quarters. But that is of course a big if. But the base for every quarter will change, because Q1 last year, for example, was much smaller than Q4 the year before last. So you can't say this is the annual run rate. That's it.
All right, thanks. I'll come back in the next.
Thanks, Vivek. Next question is from Pranav. Pranav, go ahead and ask your question from Edelweiss.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. My first question is regarding the slowdown in hiring, especially in the startup world? I mean, this has implication on the on two sides. One is, you know, somewhat your employee cost is also linked to it. So how should we see this? And secondly, on the recruitment business side, that you know, you will have some revenue which can potentially you know, slow down. So how do you see this impacting in the current scenario?
Well, if the slowdown is only in startup hiring, that is actually a positive for us, because we don't make a lot of revenue from startups. They are a very tiny part of our revenue. On the other hand, you know, we lose a lot of people to startups and big tech companies. So if startups and big tech hiring, as in the internet kind of hiring, slows down, then that may actually be a you know, benefit us, because it'll help us control our costs and wages. On the other hand, may not affect our revenue so much. On the other hand, if there is a slowdown in IT services hiring, in product companies hiring, back offices hiring, traditional dev centers hiring, that is likely to hurt us, because it, a large part of our revenue comes from some 8,000-10,000 companies in the IT space we sort of work with. And that, I guess, is more indexed. It's going to be more indexed to what happens to the US market and than anything else.
Sure. My second question is, you know, can you please elaborate, you know, how do you see the, you know, the philosophy on the investment in the listed space? So, for example, you have a large investment in Zomato and Policybazaar. So how should we see this in the longer term? That's what I would like to know.
Sanjeev, you want to take that? Chintan?
You're talking about the modern policy, right? See, sorry?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So, look, we are still figuring it out. We are locked in till July in Zomato, and we are locked in till, I think, a few months later, I think November, in policy. So we have some, still have some time. We'll figure it out. But we haven't taken a view on it yet. But look, as long as there's enough growth left in the companies and there is... we don't have a competing use for the cash. There may be substantial value to be built by staying on. But on the other hand, if we believe there isn't growth left, or we have competing use for the cash, maybe we'll look at an exit. But we have not taken a call yet.
Sure. If I can just ask one follow-up on this. I mean, you know, the valuation in the, you know, the startup world, it seems to be correcting. In that sense, are you looking to accelerate your deployment, you know, of the cash in the AIF in the current period, or how are you seeing this space?
So the first fund has invested in 28 companies. It won't do any new companies. Whatever money is left there will be used for follow-ons in the current companies. There's a follow-on fund which will be used further for the follow-ons in the current companies. And there are two new AIFs which will be for new companies. Now, we are being a little careful, discerning, figuring it out. You see, a few things have changed in the last 2, 3, 4 months. You've got to go for companies where, you know, if you believe it's going to be heavily cash consumptive over the next few years, there's a real risk of it not getting a external investor. And therefore, we'll be a little careful. I think we won't invest in a hurry. We will be very, very discerning.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's it. I wish you all the very best.
Yeah, thanks, Pranav. Next question is from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you, Anand. Part of my question was answered in the previous, but just a follow-up on that investment strategy, Sanjeev. Is there any change in views regarding which stage of companies you would invest in, given that now maybe in the private space, a lot of companies will come in at more reasonable valuations? That's part one.
Yeah, should I answer?
So my question was, is there any change in views regarding...
There is no change. We will still go early stage. We will still be like the first institutional check-in. You know, the thing about growth and late-stage investments is that, you know, if the valuation is lower, there's a reason. And if the company is still burning cash, it's going to consume a lot of cash. And we are not in the big money game. Our fund sizes are modest, right? 100 million, you know, 150 million, 75 million. They are not large funds. So, right. You know, if somebody is raising 50, 60, 70 million, there is no way we can support that kind of round. And for a small ownership. Right. And for when the market is corrected, even at a lower valuation, if the operating risk is high, it's still a very risky investment.
Right. Thanks, Sanjeev. My second question is to you, Hitesh. If you can, talk about the A&P spend outlook into FY23, and also are any views on your own hiring for your own team in FY23? Is that going to continue to go up because of product investments, or how should we think about that?
Yeah. So let's start with A&P. We look at advertising and marketing expenses quarter by quarter. We don't have a budget for the year. We spend money, evaluate the impact of that spend, and then course correct and fine tune and refine as we go along. Now, what I can tell you for sure is that, Jeevan Sathi, high ad spend will continue because that's the nature of the beast. Our competition also spending aggressively. We also need to spend aggressively to stay in the game. 99acres also will likely to spend more money than last year. Because again, that market has also become very competitive. There's a lot of competitive intensity in that market. We may spend a little more in Naukri because that business is growing well. And, we may just to build some brand recall. We've been out of media for a while. We may spend a little more in Naukri as well. But like I said, it'll be quarter on quarter. We'll see how the market shapes up and plan accordingly. As far as hiring goes, we will continue to hire in our newer verticals. So verticals which are small but likely to grow in the long run. These are investment modes. So whether it's the study abroad vertical in Shiksha or whether it's job hai, the blue collar vertical that we are building, which generates no revenue, or whether it's Big Shift, or whether it's Ambition Box or Zwayam or Do Select. In these verticals, we will continue to invest more and more. And again, like I said, we are watchful. We may invest. We'll invest for 6 months, see the impact, and then again review and so on. In our regular verticals, we may hire a few percent people more in functions like sales, operations, customer service as business grows. We are unlikely to, invest a lot more in technology and product and in terms of number of people in our traditional core operation, because I think that is adequately staffed for the moment.
Got it. Thanks, Hitesh. Those were my questions.
Thanks, Vijay. Next question is from Geet Vaz from Lagori. Geet, go ahead and ask a question.
Hi, Hitesh. Congratulations on a great set of numbers.
This is specifically from
the Shiksha point of view. Just wanted to understand the breakup of revenue. What is the percentage of penetration that you've gotten already from free and paid listings over there? That was the first question that I had.
Actually, penetration levels are very low, but I would not read too much into them because we have all kinds of listings on our platform. A lot of government colleges are also listed on our site, and they are unlikely to pay ever. So while most of our revenue comes from maybe 700-800 colleges and universities, and we may have 40,000 or some very large number on our platform, it is unlikely that many will pay ever, right?
Just trying to estimate the growth potential over there, and how much do you think there is? I mean, it's been growing at above 50% for a long time. So how long can that sustain?
Very difficult to say. See, in the Shiksha business, our revenue is a function of the number of leads we are able to generate for our customers and the price we are able to charge per lead, right?
Right.
So now if we have to keep growing at this rate, we have to keep growing our traffic, we have to improve conversion rate on our platforms. We have to be able to monetize leads at a higher price. It's not possible to do this year on year, every year for a long time. So let's see. I mean, hard to say whether we will be able to scale up traffic at this rate going forward also. Right.
Right.
Can we add new customers? Yes. Can we look at different revenue models? Maybe yes. For example, we're already doing a lot on the study abroad side. Now, study abroad, we are following a very different model. We've gone full stack, as in we are doing end-to-end transaction. And the study abroad business did a reasonable job last year. We generated about 20 crores of revenue from the study abroad business and started from scratch almost from zero, 3-4 years ago. So it's a startup inside Shiksha. We plan to invest behind that business and grow it faster going forward. Let's see what happens. The domestic business, can it continue to grow at 50% year on year for a long time? It's going to be very difficult. Unless we are able to crack some new model of growth.
Got it. Also, one last question is, What is the breakup between agency hiring and direct hiring on the platform right now from Naukri?
So
companies hiring directly versus
agencies. Versus. I think, I mean, I don't have the latest number, but it used to be around 25% of our revenue. Maybe okay. We can dig out the number and send it to you separately.
Sure. Thank you so much. And congrats again on the numbers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Geet. Next question is from Mohit Motwani from Edelweiss. Mohit, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is on the paid listings in 99acres. If you see that the paid listings have come down in the last two quarters, but the billings have significantly increased. So can you give some insight on what has led to the increase in billings? That's my first question.
No, see, you know, billings have gone up because billing per price, per, you know, we upped our prices, we've sort of, you know, cut discounts. So that's the reason you are seeing more monetization per listing. Our response has also gone up over the last few months. We have to be delivering a lot more to our customers. Now, why have paid listings gone down? See, there are two, three reasons. One, you know, what happens paid listings are often put by brokers, and often brokers used to put up multiple listings for the same property, right? And then prices go up, they probably sort of become a little more careful about how many listings they post because they don't want to pay much more by for posting the same listing, you know, again and again. That's one. Secondly, I suspect, but this is just, you know, my suspicion right now that, you know, the market has become a lot better than it was, and properties are moving a lot faster. So earlier it used to take maybe, you know, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months to sell a property. Now, because the market has become a little better than it used to be, maybe you can, you know, you put up a property, you start getting a response, you can maybe get out in 2-3 months, you know, on the average. So it's a faster moving market as well.
Sure, that's helpful. Thanks. And my second question, sir, is on the matrimony business. So I know that you have been very bullish on the matrimony space in the last 5 years.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, sure. So in the last, like, you know, 5 years, I think it has been making losses at the EBITDA level. So I believe what you're betting on is the number of paid profiles will come up in the matrimony space, right? But there are no repeat use cases. If you look at the matrimony segment, there won't be any repeat use cases. So, you know, how are you seeing the future of this matrimony space? Are you expecting more paid profiles, or because the pricing power may not be there considering the competition?
So, you know, see, we've done badly in the matrimony space for the last few years for the simple reason that we are a number three player nationally, and that we have only 15% share of the market, and it's hard for a number three player in any market to make money. It's not a market where one player dominates like Naukri does in jobs. You know, so what we have tried to do over the last 4-5 years is gain, at least in terms of profile share, traffic share, matchmaking share, with the hope that revenue will follow once we gain share. So 3-4 years ago, we implemented a heavy sort of discounting, variable discounting strategy. For a while, that got us a lot of traffic. It got us a lot of paid users. It resulted in more matches happening on the platform. You know, it increased our share of matches, if not necessarily revenue in the space. But then competition caught on. It took them about, we also sort of, supplemented and complemented it with more advertising. You know, to get more traffic, more profiles to register to start with. The strategy yielded good gains for about 5-7 quarters, but then competition caught on. They also upped their advertising spend. They also started discounting very aggressively. And then, of course, we ran into COVID. And lately, the strategy has stopped working for us because, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. And we are a number three player. Lately, what we've done is we've changed our strategy once again. We have in fact gotten even more aggressive. Instead of giving heavy discounts, we've actually gone free for a lot of our paid services, right? With, again, the intention is to, like I said, gain traffic share, get profile share, enable more matchmaking on our platform. And hopefully, as a result, there'll be more word of mouth and we'll be able to sort of garner a larger share of the matrimony market. Once that happens, then, you know, over a year or two, you can sort of, you know, play around with monetization as well, you know. So that's the idea. It's early days. You know, we are happy with what we are seeing. Now, as a result of this strategy, our revenues will take a beating for at least 2-4 quarters. But we are also hoping and that, you know, our marketing costs will also come down. Early days on that one, because, you know, if Jeevansathi is free, it, you know, helps us differentiate ourselves from our competition. So let's see how this plays out over the next 2, 3, 4 quarters. We are hopeful and bullish that, you know, it will help us gain share. But, you know, again, it's also going to be a function of what happens in the market, or how our competition reacts and so on and so forth. So fingers crossed, let's see how this plays out.
Sure. So just if I can follow up on my last question. So the new AIF schemes which we are setting up, so those will also have investments similar to how you had with the first AIF fund, like in similar areas like AI, machine learning and those kind of areas?
Yeah. So so there's a follow-on fund. It invests only in the emerging winners from fund one. That's 100 billion. There is fund two, which will basically invest in new companies, which we have not invested in earlier, on the same strategy as Fund 1. And that wasn't a lot of AIML, right? That was more consumer internet, mobile app, and so on. Right? Which, of course, you know, you nowadays you can't avoid AIML, it's there everything. But, you know, pure tech companies, very few. And then there's the Fund 2B, Capital 2B, which is going to be a more product techish, deep techish kind of investment. It will be more AIML type, but there will be some overlap. But we'll figure it out.
Sure. Thank you for all the answers. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mohit. Next question is from Aditya from Macri. Aditya, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So a few questions. First was more on kind of real estate and matrimony and all that stuff. I guess it's a long game here. You've mentioned in the past consolidation is the game. Last year, we had a 30 million loss. The year before, the loss was a bit lower than that. So I guess in terms of fiscal 23, maybe any thoughts in terms of how much of losses you're willing to fund here at the upper bound? And then I had a few more questions.
There's no upper bound, but you know, in Matrimony, like I said, we lost about 120 crores last year. So now we're hoping that, you know, it'll sort of, you know, we'll sort of be able to make serious gains in terms of traffic share. And you know, if we do that, then the rest of the stuff follows from there. Now, whether we'll end up with 100 crore loss or 150 crore loss is difficult for me to say at this point in time, because like I said, we've changed our model. It's very, very early days. We know revenue will take a hit for the next 3-4 quarters. So we did 100 crores last year. We will see a drop at least for 2-3 quarters. You know, and then only if we gain market share and traffic share, and if you're able to figure out new ways of monetizing, we'll revenue go back. we are also looking to cut our marketing spend slightly. But again, like I said, it'll be one quarter at a time. We'll play around, experiment, see what happens, and refine and fine-tune as we go along. In real estate also, again, it's become very competitive. There are many more players in the market than was the case 2-3 years ago. Some of them are very heavily funded. Market is also showing signs of making a comeback. So again, it'll be like, you know, one quarter at a time. But needless to sort of say, we will sort of, if we have to stay competitive, if we have to stay, you know, in the game, we will have to respond to competition. We cannot sort of let competition sort of take the game away from us if we want to stay in the game. And if that means making, taking extra losses for a couple of years, we should be prepared for it.
Excellent answer, Hitesh. I guess the second question was more on your Naukri business. Right now, here clearly in a kind of very strong demand environment, your margins have expanded as well. So in the prior years, your EBITDA margin is about 55%. I understand that there are levers which you can pull, but I guess into fiscal 23, do you see a downside to where your current margins are in Naukri?
Well, it'll depend on what happens to demand and revenue. See, if revenues continue to, or billings continue to grow at 25-30% or more, I don't think margins will in fact could improve from here on, right? On the other hand, if there is a slowdown in the second half of the year, if you know IT hiring takes a hit, if there's a recession and so on and so forth, then it's hard for me. So you know, but like I said, we manage quarter by quarter. In the past, I have always said, listen, at 15-20% growth also we can maintain our margins. But this year we are being aggressive in terms of the salary increases that we are doing out, in terms of investments in adjacent verticals, right? I mentioned a host of them. inside the company. They're not going to generate a lot of revenue in the short term, but we think it's important to keep investing in them, to invest in them for the medium term. So we don't want to cut down on those investments. Recessions in the past we've seen normally don't last for more than 2 or 3 quarters.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question, Tish?
Yeah.
So just on your investee companies, maybe just a quick update there on some of your larger carrying value investments, whether it be Shop Kirana, Business, et cetera. And also, I guess, related to the AIF, I mean, are you increasingly facing a more challenging environment in terms of capital and having to kind of go down the risk curve as you're kind of competing with some of the larger kind of PE VC firms?
Well, I'll take that. See, actually, what's happened last 2-3 months is that people are being very careful, even other investors. So it's not as if it's a very competitive situation where we are having to fight to get into investments. That's not the case. I think everybody is being careful. And therefore, the risk is on the other side. That what if your current companies can't get the next rounds? And you're dealing with that. And you're figuring out how much cash they have, how much runway they have, and so on. So if somebody's got 2 years of cash, he's okay. But, you know, if he's got 6 months of cash, he better start raising now. Immediately and pretty quickly, right? So it's not as if it's really competitive, in getting into deals right now. You should actually be very careful what deals you want to get into, right? Now, as far as Shop Kirana and Business are concerned, they're both reasonably well capitalized right now. But yes, they will need more capital. They need at least one round more. But the business is scaling up nicely. But they're not making money. So obviously, next few months or so, we will have to look at capitalization options there.
Thanks, Sanjeev.
Thank you so much, Aditya. Next question is from Bhavik Mehta from JP Morgan. Bhavik, go ahead and ask your question. Bhavik, you are there? We'll take next question while he joins back. The next question is from Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask a question.
Hello, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. First one is for Sanjeev. So we saw that in the past, Zomato and PB FinTech, you invested almost close to 1,000 crore in these two companies. In fact, in PB, you invested around 400 crore in one round itself. Now, given the new AIF structure, does this imply that you are no longer able to cut such large checks in follow-on rounds for your investments?
That is substantially correct. The truth is that we in our earlier sort of capital allocation in our portfolio, we cut some large checks which would never have passed muster actually in a AIF structure, because even SEBI does not allow more than X amount of your fund going into one company, right? You've got third-party capital now. And therefore, you've got to follow norms of commercial prudence. Now, it worked out for us in Zomato and Policy Builder. The fact that we cut these large checks has given us this kind of outsized return. But it is also carrying risk. So therefore, yes, we will be more commercially prudent than we were earlier. And yes, we won't take bet the fund kind of investments, that you're investing a very large percentage of your fund into any one company. So you can't invest 400 crores, you're absolutely right, in one check in one company.
Okay, that was very useful. Just one follow-up. So does this mean that for deploying the same amount of capital or perhaps now, 3x the capital that we deployed in the first AIF, we will potentially have to invest in around 100 companies?
No, it doesn't mean that. You see, 100 million of this 325 million is going into a follow-on fund, which will only invest in the emerging winners of fund one. So that doesn't go into new companies at all. Right? What you will have 75 million and 150 million, 225 million. Yes, you will have maybe 2x of the companies. Maybe. We're still figuring it out.
Okay, and some of these startups that are listed here, the Unbox Robotics, the IoT company, are these also earmarked for the deep tech AIF, or is it part of the previous?
So listen, we had a small sort of pool of capital we had put side from the company balance sheet to invest in a very early stage deep tech companies. And this was done through a subsidiary called called Red Start, right? And this is, those companies, 8-10 of them, we'll have to figure out where to put them. That's still being worked out.
Okay. Last one is for Hitesh. So now that Siksha's billing is higher than that of Jeevan Sathi, does this mean that your business priorities also change in tandem with the higher billing of Siksha over Jeevan Sathi?
Really, see, we internally have a business unit structure. So every business has a business head, and they sort of make a case for their business. They build business plans, and then they execute. They're empowered to sort of hire people, invest in marketing, etc., etc. Now, why? Yes, of course, Siksha has done well for the last 2 years, and we are going to be sort of increasing our investment in Siksha going forward. Like I said, we are looking to invest behind the study abroad sort of section in vertical in Siksha. And so, but in Jeevan Sathi, you know, it's been one bad year. You know, we expected to grow at 15-20%. We've grown at only maybe 2-3-4%. But now we have again sort of reworked our strategy. Now, if the strategy starts to yield results, we'll continue to invest more behind Jeevan Sathi too.
All right, understood. Thanks, and all the best.
Thanks, Vivek. Next question is from Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal. Mukul, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Hitesh. Good evening. Hitesh, a couple of questions from my side. The first one was, you know, on the just a bit of a clarification on the recruitment side. There is a difference of about 75 crore between recruitment and Naukri billing. Is this purely due to iimjobs? And you know, can you just help you know, break out how much growth iimjobs has done?
I just want to clarify, say recruitment for us includes Quadrangle. It also includes Naukri Gulf. It also includes, you know, of course, we get almost zero revenue from JobHai and BigShot, but it also includes those verticals. It includes Ambition Box. It includes the candidate services business in InfoEdge. And now, I don't know whether our, you know, Chintan, can you just clarify whether it, what we have reported includes iimjobs and Zwayam and DoSelect as well, or...
Yeah, the recruitment solutions numbers include iimjobs number because that merger is complete. It won't include Zwayam and DoSelect. I think those numbers we have given it out separately. But you know, broadly that then explains, you know, that you know, Naukri is just one subset of recruitment recruitment solution. Of course, that's the big part of it. But there are other small brands also, and that's everything kind of, you know, accumulates into the overall recruitment solution numbers.
Right. So, Chintan, is it fair to assume that there is no major change in last few quarters because of these smaller businesses, their overall share in the recruitment billing, or has, you know, something grown quite rapidly?
Actually, I mean, I don't think we give out the numbers, but our core Naukri business, original business, grew the fastest.
Fair enough.
More than anything else.
Right. And also, the second part was, you know, a follow-up to an earlier question on 99acres, Hitesh. You know, if you look at the paid listing drop, you know, is it fair to assume that this was partially due to market share loss as you increase prices? And, you know, if you look at the number of paid listing, it is probably the lowest in recent history, excluding obviously the Q1 disruption. I had to go back to all the way to FY15. To get a lower number. And also, if you can just kind of break it up, was the impact more on the rental side versus the developer side? How's the mix shaping up?
So the fall in paid listing, like I said, is can be attributed to two, three things. One is, of course, higher prices, and therefore brokers putting up, you know, fewer of the same listings. Two is the market being a little better than it used to be. Three, maybe there is more, like I mentioned earlier, there's more competitive intensity as well. Yes, we have lost some customers at the bottom because that was by design in the beginning, at least, because, you know, there, a lot of the customers were paying us very little money. So we didn't feel it sort of was important to sort of service them. Also, there was a slowdown. So many sort of our clients went out of business, especially in the first half of last year. They're all slowly and steadily, they're all coming back. So let's see what happens going forward.
Understood. The third was on the, you know, while obviously there are concerns on the IT side going forward in FY23, but how should we think about the non-IT portion, the remaining 50% of the Naukri business that went through a deep compression in the last 2 years? How should we see the growth, especially compared to what it was in FY20 pre-pandemic? Is it something which can really see a fast catch-up next year?
So, again, the non-IT sort of piece, I would break up into two parts. One is the, sectors like travel, tourism, hospitality, retail, which were massively impacted by the pandemic. And then there are the other non-IT sectors like, education, pharmaceuticals, FMCG, etc. So we've seen, the second sort of segment, we started seeing hiring in these sectors pick up in the second half of last year itself. Some of these companies started hiring very aggressively towards the second half of last year. But lately, what we are seeing is the other segment also come back, the hospitality, travel, tourism, retail, these kind of sort of sectors, because they've started opening up, post pandemic. Now, I suspect, and what we're also seeing on the ground, in fact, even in our company, is, till last year, we were worried about tech attrition. And therefore, we had to give massive increases to people in our product development sort of organization. But this year, we are having to sort of pay a lot more to people in functions like customer service and operations and sales and finance and accounts and as well, because demand for these professionals is also slowly and steadily coming back. Now, will this continue for another 2 quarters, 4 quarters, 1 quarter is hard for me to say. Things are opening up. Many of these companies had laid off people, they had downsized over the last 2-3 years. They are beginning to see hire once again for long, and that is resulting in higher attrition in other sectors as well, not just in these sectors, but for how long will this continue is hard for me to say.
That's fair.
One more point I want to make is, many of these people, many of these workers also went back home, right? And a lot of them are working from home. So as companies encourage them and to get back to work, that could also lead to some attrition in some places.
Sure. If I may ask one question to Sanjeev, if he's there, if you look at the last fundraise, there was a discussion about, scaling or acquisition in the non-Naukri vertical in the standalone entity. With funding drying up, and obviously peers kind of struggling, can that be an opportunity for direct acquisition? Because that will not be possible through AIS.
No, so acquisition not happen through AIS, but there's enough money on the balance sheet. But I'll let Hitesh answer that question because that really comes under him.
Like when we raise money, also we've said that we are looking to, one, of course, invest in our operating businesses and in adjacent areas. Two, we said we would sort of do more investing in companies outside, also do some tuck-in acquisitions. And the third thing we had said is that we are sort of, hoping to sort of do a big acquisition at some point in time in the next 2-3 years. But big acquisitions, as we have learned, are one of course, they're opportunistic. There are just a handful of companies you can acquire. And what also happened over the last 2-3 years is that valuation sort of went out of whack. Now, and therefore everything looked very, very pricey. Could things on this front change going forward? Maybe, maybe not. Time will tell. But, big acquisitions will, we'll probably do one or maybe one in the next couple of years if we get opportunity. Hard to predict what's going to happen on that one. We'll continue to do the smaller ones. We'll continue to sort of invest in our internal businesses. Those are easier.
Sure, no, that's fair. Thanks for taking my questions and best of luck for 2022. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mukul. Next question is from Swapnil from JM Financial. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. So a couple of them. First on Naukri. So given that we have a high billings base this year, I would presume your revenue would grow significantly well next year. And you mentioned that you would be doing some investments within Naukri itself. So how should we think about margins for Naukri in the near term, at least, if you could give some sense on that?
The investments are not going to be very, very substantial. Like I said, we look at things quarter on quarter. We you know, make some investments, see results. If it's working, we sort of scale up. So we will continue to invest in our newer verticals. But if, you know, if revenue growth continues to be solid, if billing growth continues to be solid, and I'm by solid, I don't mean 60-70%, you know, which is what we got last year. By solid, I mean, even if we are able to grow at 25-30% this year, you know, I think our margins should continue to be very, very healthy.
Okay. And second question is on Jeevansathi. You mentioned that you're not charging the customers as a change in strategy. Now, should we assume that, theoretically speaking, can the billings go to zero? Or is it like, is it for a partial, you're charging some customers and not the other part of it? And just or follow up on that, like, what would be your fixed expenses in Jeevansathi? And what is the variable part of it, so that that will help us model.
No, you're right. Theoretically, billings can go to zero because you know, a substantial part of what we were sort of charging for is now free. Having said so, there are some value-added services which are still paid, and we expect you know, revenues to fall substantially, but not go to zero. But we were maybe a 30-40% correction is very like could happen. Drop in revenue could happen easily. We are hoping, like I said, in the long run to make it up through more registrations, more matchmaking, more activity, more engagement on the platform, but that's a big if. You know, in we built about our revenue in Jeevansathi was 100 crores last year. We spent about 220. We lost 120 at the EBITDA level. I think at least half of this, or if not more, was advertising and marketing costs. So the other costs would have been maybe closer to 80, 90 crores, but we can get back to you the exact number.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot for taking the questions.
Yeah. Thanks, Swapnil. Next question is from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. I have just two questions. One, with study abroad, Hitesh, is there a change in approach with that, given that you've talked about it as a new initiative versus other classifieds business? Is there going to be more marketplace type of offerings, more value-added services, if you will, that you can monetize effectively? That's one. And my second question is on the IT in the recruitment business. Is there an overlap between the kind of resumes you think are you know, sought by the new age internet companies, so to say, the ones where, you know, a lot of funding has been raised in the last few years, and the conventional IT services companies that is, you know, the core of your business? Those are the two questions.
So listen, so the Shiksha Study Abroad things started off an experiment, and you know, in the past we've flirted with these assisted services. In Naukri, we have an e-hire service, which is, you know, where we get 50-70 crores revenue. We have assisted services in 99acres. We have an assisted service in Jeevansathi, but we never gone the full hog, whole hog on, you know, and said, okay, we'll do the transaction. Shiksha Study Abroad is actually the first, as far as we are concerned, where we are actually saying we actually get paid on closure. You know, we will send these kids overseas to these universities. We will handhold them, counsel them, get them a visa, and so on and so forth. Now, we've been surprised by the fact that we've been able to execute reasonably well, given that this is not a skill we had in the company so far. Now, if it scales up nicely, you know, and we are able to develop this new competency, then over time, you know, we could experiment in other verticals as well. I've already mentioned Big Shift, so there's a experiment going on inside the company where we're looking at an end-to-end sort of play in premium tech hiring. But it's early days of Big Shift. Big Shift has just developed the platform. They haven't even started monetizing as well as yet. So let's see how this plays out. But it could open up new sort of avenues for the company in the medium term, where these one or two experiments, if these one or two experiments were to succeed. As far as you know, as far as your second question goes, you know, is there a big overlap between the kind of people IT services companies hire and you know, these startups which are heavily funded hire? I don't think so, because IT services companies have traditionally hired from tier 2, tier 3 campuses. Their starting salaries on campus are more like 3, 4, 5, 6 lakhs per annum. a lot, and they hire in thousands and in hundreds of thousands, in fact. On the other hand, these innovative tech startups, which are heavily funded, don't hire as many people as IT services companies, but they like to hire sort of from tier one campuses. Their starting salaries are often double or triple of what IT services companies offer on campus. And they hire very few numbers. So between, I think, all the startups put together, you know, if you were to look at the total tech workforce, it would be smaller than perhaps a Wipro or an Infosys, right? So they're not big in terms of size, but they hire higher quality. They hire from more premier institutions, and they pay a lot more.
Right. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Tish.
Thanks, Vijit. Next question is from Abhishek Bhandari from Nomura. Abhishek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Hi, Tesh. I hope you're doing well. Hey, Tesh, I just had one basic question. If I look at your billing, which is an indicator of your market size, recruitment is almost around 1450 odd crore, kind of business. What do you think, could be the market size for your remaining, three key verticals, whether you look at real estate or education or matrimony in next 5 years' time?
So actually, recruitment has become a very large market. We do 1450 crores, then there's LinkedIn, they do a few hundred crores, then there are recruitment firms and there's referral hiring. So, I wouldn't be surprised if companies are spending at least $1 billion or close to that much on recruitment in India, if not more. And this is not including the cost of their internal HR or recruitment teams and so on. Right. So that's one. Now, as far as the other verticals go, the 99acres, now, if you look at, it depends on how you define the market. So if you just look at the advertising market for real estate, right? 10 years ago, or 14 years ago, it used to be 2,500 crores, right? And what all of it used to go to newspapers and hoardings and so on. Then the real estate advertising market shrunk because real estate went through a rough time, starting with RERA, then demonetization, GST, NBFC crisis, COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The market actually shrunk to maybe, or two-thirds of the size, even though after 10, so 10 years later, the market was maybe two-thirds the size. Now, the nature of the advertising has spent has, of course, changed. Most of it now goes to online, right? It doesn't go to newspapers and hoardings anymore. But within online also, a large part of it now goes to Google and Facebook, right? So there's Google and Facebook, and then there are the real estate portals, and then there's newspaper advertising. And so if you were to look at the spend on real estate portals and Facebook and Google today, it's probably close to 1,000 crores, if not more already, right? And the real estate is now entering a growth phase. And then there is newspaper advertising, et cetera, which will slowly again keep migrating to online. So it's very likely that, 10 years from now, the real estate advertising market in India, right, could be 5,000, 7,000 crores, who knows, right? And this does not include, transactions, it does not include brokerage, it does not include some. So over time, some of these sort of markets will also be up for grabs, depending on what models people develop and so on, right? So it's not a tiny market by any standards. The it's just that it was like screwed for the last 7-10 years, right? If you look at matrimony, now again depends on how you define the market. If you look at traditional matrimony, which is basically caste and community based matrimony, like what Jeevan Sathi, Shaadi, and Bharat Matrimony do today itself, that market is close to $100 million, right? But growing at maybe 7-10% per annum. One reason why it is $100 million and why even real estate is 1,000 crores and not 2,000 or not 1,500, 2,000 crores is because a lot of competition. What happens when you have a lot of competition is that prices are driven down. Unlike what you're seeing in recruitment. In recruitment, because there isn't a lot of competition, we are able to command the price we deserve to get in that vertical. Here, because there's a lot of competition in both matrimony and real estate, there's aggressive discounting from all players, which results in lower realizations. Now, if you were to this matrimony market add the dating market, right? Because the dating market did not exist a few years ago. And the dating market is also evolving. So there's casual dating, which is Tinder. And then there is serious dating, which is Aisle, which is something we invested in. Then that market is also now, I don't have the numbers, exact numbers, but maybe it's a 250 crore, 300 crore market already, right? And growing much faster. So So these are not small markets by any standard, and over the next 5-10 years they could become fairly large, especially and especially if you know there is consolidation.
Got it. My second question, Hitesh, is that, you know, now that our jobs classified business core Naukri is a cash cow, I know, and we are a clear dominant market share. Has it occurred to you that we should actually...
May I take that? Cash cow is not the correct characterization of Naukri. It is growing very fast. So it's highly profitable, growing very fast. I do not know what you'd call it. But it doesn't fit into a BCG.
Star, star. It's called a star.
No, a star is this is a mature business. It's growing fast. So it doesn't fit into your traditional 2x2 BCG. But yeah, sorry.
No problem. Sanjay, I didn't mean it's growing slow by any standard. What I meant that, you know, it's a fast growing engine throwing cash. Has it ever occurred to you that you should go up the value chain and probably start targeting, you know, more premium? Now, I know the investments in IIM jobs and all are there, but, you know, more like probably like a LinkedIn kind of approach, you know, where you start building communities and, you know, it becomes probably, you know, one of its own kind, given the wide network you have. And I think the, you know, the effects of network can actually be realized very quickly over there. So any thoughts there will be helpful.
See, you know, what we've seen over time is that, you know, it's very hard for me to players to succeed in any market, right? So you have to have a differentiated strategy. You have to have a differentiated offering. If you try and do what somebody else is doing, and if that somebody else is already very strong, very powerful, has a lot of resources, it's unlikely that you would succeed. Which is why, you know, we are doing what we're doing in Jeevan Sathi also. You know, we have to have differentiated ourselves. Now, so should we do another professional networking site? I doubt it, whether that approach will work. But what are we doing? We're doing IIM jobs. We're doing vertical sites. We are also experimenting with a portal called Hirist, you know, in the IIM jobs table, which is premium tech hiring. We are trying to do Pick Shift, which is, you know, like I said, we are flirting with the idea of doing end-to-end sort of transactions, you know, end-to-end on a platform using technology, maybe in a small area. So maybe the right approach to premium hiring or to sort of entering that market is, you know, this niche sort of vertical approach, as opposed to, you know, trying to build another sort of network to compete head on with Microsoft, you know. So that's our thinking at this point in time. But like I said, some of these things change, and you know, tomorrow if we see an aggressive startup which is sort of likely to succeed in this space and, you know, is making great progress, then none of this will matter.
Thanks, Hitesh and Sanjeev. Yeah. Really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Abhishek. Next question is from Atman Ajmera from Nodra Assets. Atman, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, good evening. This is Atman from Nordea. Firstly, congratulations on Naukri's performance. I mean, business has done really well over the last 2 years. Business is a lot bigger and, you know, virtually a flat employee base. Clear testament to the sort of scalability of the platform. My question, Hitesh, is more on 99acres and Jeevan Sathi. Most questions have been answered, but just one question I was curious about is, so what are you really optimizing for when you incentivize your business heads? So, you know, are they going after traffic share? Is it, you know, is someone in the organization penalized for a high marketing spend? You know, what how do you measure a successful outcome in these two businesses when, you know, the market is what it is? But there's some things you can do internally as well. So what are you really incentivizing your business heads for? What's a good outcome?
So the number one thing we focus on in almost every vertical we operate in is our traffic, right? How many users sort of end up on our platform? What is the amount of time they spend on our platform? How engaged are they with our platform? So that's the number one thing. So whether it's Naukri or 99acres or Shiksha, we have daily analysis to track, you know, what's happening, right? The number two thing we focus on, because we are a matchmaking platform, is matchmaking, right? So you may get you can get a lot of traffic, but it may bounce and it may not spend too much time. It may not end up sort of in Naukri. They may not end up applying to the right jobs. They may not get shortlisted. They may not get hired. In Jeevan Sathi, they may not find the right sort of matches and they may sort of just, you know, disengage after a while. So the number two thing we sort of focus on in all our sort of verticals, almost all our verticals, is matchmaking. How many matches are we able to enable through our platform? And we, again, like I said, we have dashboards, your analytics, etc. to report stuff like this on a daily basis. The number three thing, and which we focus on, is traffic share, right? Which is, you know, how are we doing versus our competition? So, you know, our UVs may be growing, our visitors may be growing at 20% per annum, our matchmaking may be growing at 30% per annum, if our competition is growing at 50%, we have a problem, right? So, because as you know, in the internet space, it's often winner take all, especially in the kind of markets we operate. And if you're not a strong contender, or if you're not a strong number two or a number one player, it's very, very hard after a while, which is why I mentioned recently just now on the, I mean, that this new approach in Jeevansathi, because what we did 3 years ago started working for us, worked for us for some time, we gained share, we gained, you know, in terms of the number of matches we were enabling and so on. But then competition followed, and then we are now sort of forced to do things again very differently if we have to gain share. So these are the top three. And then, of course, there's revenue, because the proof of the pudding ultimately is in the eating. And often monetization is not easy. And, you know, we have to think of smart ways to monetize, because you can do all this. But if your monetization model is not in sync with what you're doing, then you may not be able to reap the benefits of all these changes that you make to your platform, right? So we have to constantly sort of reinvent or reimagine monetization also on all our platforms. So these are the four sort of big things we focus on. Like I said, in the long run, traffic share is the most important, but also our UVs, because you may have very high traffic share, but if you're in a tiny market, if you don't have too many visitors, it doesn't matter, right? And in the end, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So you have to be able to monetize, and you have to be able to command the right price, especially if you're a leader, because that is what ultimately leads to good margins.
Right. So thanks for that. Just a follow-up there, Swetesh. A lot of the things you mentioned can be achieved through marketing spends, right? I mean, you can invest higher to get traffic. So are the business heads given X budget, this is what you spend, and do your best with you can in terms of traffic? Or is this sort of, you know, is there a pool that the business heads are fighting for? And, you know, or is there a constant combat saying we need more to sort of grow traffic?
Well, yes and no. See, marketing is not a panacea for all in. So, you know, in the sense that, you know, if you spend more money on marketing and your competition also starts spending more money on marketing, you're back to square one, right? So marketing works up to a point. It works, especially when competition does not respond. It often does not work. It works to grow the market, expand the market, you know, but it does not work beyond a point to get you share, right? If your competition is also as aggressive as you are. Now, therefore, a lot of the focus is also on doing smart things, you know, on the platform. So in some of our verticals, we need to invest more in operations. We need to invest in smart algorithms to enable good matchmaking. We have a data science team which is constantly focused on that. We sometimes need to launch new features, get into newer areas to sort of just, get a higher share of the funnel at the top. And so it's a combination of things. Marketing is not the, marketing is required from time to time, and it's important, especially if competition is advertising and you are not, to be able to respond. But it's not as if you can get all the results you want only from marketing. Now, is there a budget? Is there, like I said, you know, every business has a business head, they prepare business plans, survey the environment, they understand what competition is doing, we have a lot of past data on how effective marketing has been for us, right? Because the good thing about internet marketing is that you can track everything. You know what happened when you spent last time. So they look at all that, and then they sort of arrive at a plan, and they prepare a budget, which is then sort of approved. Now that budget is not cast in stone, because in our space, unlike in mature setups where things don't change too much, things change every month, right? Earlier, it used to be only because of competition and because of starters, but now it is also the environment, which changes every quarter. So once we agree on a budget, they implement it quarter by quarter and review and, you know, evaluate, and then that's how it works.
Understood. Just to wrap this up, let's say if this quarterly loss was, instead of 35 crore, was, let's say, 100 CR this quarter, hypothetically, would someone be penalized in the organization for that?
In which vertical? Sorry. So, you know, they want, I mean, it's unlikely that that has happened, because see, we track, like I said, things on a daily basis. So, you know, we have data coming in on revenue, on costs, on all this on a daily basis. At the end of the month also, there's a review. At the end of the second month also, there'll be a review. At the end of the quarter also, there'll be a review. You know, so it's not, when I say quarter by quarter, it is, you know, I mean, at my level, it's quarter by quarter, but at the, you know, the business heads and the sales heads and the product heads are reduced off every week.
Understood.
And they will post like if required.
Right. Very, very clear. Thanks, Hitesh, for that.
Thanks, Atman. So that was the last question for the day. We may wait for some time. If there are any more questions, please raise your hand. Vivek, no more questions, so we may conclude the call.
Thanks, everyone. On behalf of InfoEdge, we conclude this conference. Thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Have a nice
bye.
Thanks. Bye.